Can I hear you?
Can you hear me?
God damn it. I can't hear you. This is the worst day.
No, what is
This is literally
happening?
the worst day.
This is the worst day ever. Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl.
Where I am in my pajamas, I am headphoneless. It has been a
A
day. Not
day.
just a day, it's been an evening.
Oof.
This last 15 minutes that you guys will know nothing about. Oh my God.
It's been a struggle, y'all. It's been a struggle.
But we're here and we're
We're
excited
here.
for our interview.
Yes, we're here. Not to bring down the mood even more, but I'm Karen calling from Deathcast.
Oh no.
Oh no.
I'm Mandy of Tehran.
Welcome to the podcast.
I
Where
like where I'm from better than where you're from. Yikes.
I was gonna say something. I was gonna like go through the whole spiel, but I was like, no, that's too much.
Yeah.
We'll just do that. In our timeline, it is May 8th. We are recovering, re trying to recover.
I'm not recovered.
We're
If you
trying.
can
We're
hear from my voice, I'm not recovered at all.
trying really hard, but it's not working very well. We're trying. But in y'all's timeline, hopefully we are recovered on May 16th. That would be really lovely
Yay.
because
I just got back from taking Poochie to get shots.
Oh,
He's got an
Poochie.
appointment on May 16th at 5.
Oh, baby. Love him. This week in fangirling,
I left myself a love note when we logged off last week that
what'd you do,
said,
Mandy?
"This week in fangirling, new couch and mattress trade-off went off without a hitch. This is me manifesting from the past. Couch went off perfect. Everything's great. A very like a family who just moved here who doesn't have a lot took my old couch, and I'm
Nice.
getting with them to take this coffee table that doesn't fit anymore. Mattress came. I've got to get rid of the old one, but it's not a big deal. Everything went perfectly, so I manifested this."
Yay.
I've been reading The Night and the Moth by Rachel Gillig. I'm still only a few chapters into the ALC because I haven't had a ton of listening time because more on this week in a little bit. But so far I've met Sybil, who is a prophetess in what feels like a church that's run by gargoyles.
Okay.
There's one point where he swivels his stone eyes and it made like my teeth itchy because it was like, oh, I can hear the sound of a stone
Yeah.
eye rolling around in a stone eye socket.
Ooh.
That was rough. So Sybil has traded a decade of service in this cathedral for her memories and a home when she was, to her knowledge, at her lowest. So she's become a diviner who has to endure these dreams that are actually visions from the omens. And the omens are six godlike entities. These vision dreams are very painful. It's been very traumatizing for me because at one point she breaks a collarbone
Oh
in
no.
a vision. Yeah, I didn't love that. But they allow the diviners to predict things before they happen to know if a cause is worth the outcome, etc. One day, she and her sister diviners are out when a group of men appear at the cathedral, including the king and this knight that is rude and hot and kind of heretic. And she's really religious, so I mean, you say heretic, and I just remember that they call the Darkling the Black Heretic, and I'm like, sign me up. Sign me up. He doesn't give a fuck about her or her visions. I feel that that is not going to stay the case. And that's where I am. Good so far, but I obviously don't have much yet. The only time I've listened to it was when I was driving home from the airport after I listened to our podcast for a little bit. My plane read this weekend was Shield of Sparrows by Devney Perry. So Odessa is a princess who is destined to do nothing. Her sister May is set to rule, taught to fight. She's ruthless, she's cunning, she knows everything, she's well trained, prim and proper, but she will cut your throat. And Odessa is none of those things. So she's engaged to this nobleman who's a lot older than her, but past that, her destiny is to be his perfect wife. And she's like his reward for his faithful service to the king. So her sister May is betrothed to the Prince of Tehran, Xavier, in an alliance called the Shield of Sparrows. And it was basically destined and foretold by their gods. They don't get a say, but May has been like trained from birth to rise to this occasion. So she's like pumped. She's like, I'm about to marry this Tyranian king, and
Yeah.
there are goals that she and her dad have.
Okay.
So Xavier, Prince Xavier and his company arrive, including the Guardian, who is this notoriously lethal fighting machine that is rumored to be, if not the god of war himself, like part god who just leaves devastation in his wake. Like, give me that. Give me that.
Okay.
So the group from Tehran have slain some marrow eels in the sea near Odessa's country. They were causing issues, so they've come to collect their price for getting rid of these pests, and it was an agreed upon price. During the meeting, they make it clear very abruptly that the Prince of Tehran will marry Odessa, not May, which you can imagine does not go very well. They're just like, that
Oops.
one, he wants that one. The Prince of Tehran doesn't speak, and so the Guardian speaks on his behalf.
Okay.
So he just keeps reiterating the Prince of Tehran will marry that one. They incite this old, long forgotten rule that almost is so long forgotten rule by the gods that they like treat it like a fairy tale. They're like, that's not like, that's not real. But the priests come in and they're like, no, this is true. You have to do what they say. So Odessa is married to the Prince of Tehran that night, and she, along with her lady's maids, are put on a ship the following morning to set off to Tehran after she spends the night with her dad, teaching her some of the things he's taught May throughout her whole life. But he still doesn't trust Odessa, and that guts her. But he le
No.
his parting instruction to her is for her to find a way for him to get into like the heart of Tehran, because he, without saying it, suggests that it will pave a way for him to end the Shield of Sparrows. But from everything Odessa knows, that's impossible. He will die. Like, you can't defy the Shield of Sparrows or it will kill you. She thinks about killing her husband, the Prince of Tehran, but when she's reading the marriage contract, it says if either of you tries to kill the other, you both die. Yeah. So something feels off to Odessa about her dad, but what is not off is how freaking hot the Guardian is and how Odessa cannot help but notice. Give me that.
I did not see that
It's
coming at
been,
all.
I know, it's been so good. I was literally on the plane frantically texting my husband because I was like, I can't say this to anyone. Everybody's really excited about this book and you don't care. So I was like, I need somewhere I can point back and say like, ha, yes, I knew it. So I'm like frantically texting him and he's just like, thanks for that. Like, okay, noted.
Okay,
So yeah, that was my plane read because California.
yay, she brought the rain.
I brought the rain and cold, which is in my notes. But first, we went to the Grove and we had a celebrity encounter.
We did. Wild.
So Karen had a reward for free cheesecake at the Cheesecake Factory. So we're like, let's go to the Cheesecake Factory. Who gives a shit? And as we walk in, we got our name on the list and we get our text while we're at Barnes Noble. We come back. John Lennon. I literally typed John Lennon as Tom Lennon. Tom Lennon. John Lennon. John Lennon was there. Back from the dead. Tom Lennon was there. I'm in trouble with my spouse. He is the short shorts from Reno 911 and many other things. We got confused for being part of his party,
I would have
which
happily
now
accepted that.
we should have been like, if you
If you
want,
wanna, if you wanna,
if you want to, we will.
we will.
We'll pull up. I'll
Yeah.
share my appetizers with you. You want some Caesar salad?
We should have been bolder. We should have been bolder. Thomas Lennon, if you're listening to this, we love you. Come be
Yeah, we
friends
love you.
with us.
Then I almost made Karen leap from a second story balcony.
She really did. It was quite rude. It was quite rude.
So I'm in the middle of saying something and I look over and there's like a big like TV screen that's got Bucky Barnes on it. So I'm like, Sebastian Stan. And I shouldn't have said that given that we had just had a celebrity encounter. So I wasn't thinking. So Karen nearly breaks her back thinking that Sebastian Stan is there in the flesh, which unfortunately he was not.
No, he
So
was
then the
not.
rest of the weekend, anytime me or her kids saw a Thunderbolts promo, it
Which
was
was
Sebastian Stan
often, which was very
very
often
often.
because of it was opening weekend.
Yeah.
Oh
Oh.
man, fun
So we
times.
went to Y'all West the next day. It was cold, it was misty, it was annoying, but I met Tahamtan.
Yes.
She noticed and complimented my Erin Warner sweatshirt. I showed her my tattoo and told her that my husband got it for me, and she was like, "Oh, that's love. He's so
Yes.
secure. We love this." She was absolutely stunning.
She's so beautiful.
I cannot fathom it. And I realized that not only do I feel the same way about these two women, but they have such the same vibes. She and Meghan Markle Sussex are just so perfect to me, so classy, so beautiful. I just cannot get enough. And they seem so similar too with the way they speak. I just love them so much. I could die.
Yeah. And thank God for our friend who was standing in line with us because Mandy forgot to hand her
I
phone off.
know.
And so
She is such an angel.
she was like, "Oh, I'm gonna take a video." And I was like, "Oh shit, let me pull out my phone." And so I
Yeah.
recorded the whole interaction because Mandy forgot to hand her phone
I
off
for I was
to the
so full. I was
volunteer.
standing in
She
front of
was.
Tahamtan Mafi. Have you ever seen her? I was in
Yeah.
front of her.
Yeah. So
Ah.
I was like, I had my phone. There's a video of the whole
Yeah.
encounter. It's
Yeah.
glorious. It's amazing. It
Yeah.
makes me so happy.
I didn't do any more signings, but I got a ton of ARCs, which was fun. I have, however, realized that I am y'all events bad news. I bring the cold, drizzly, gross weather. I bring the you're not going to get your most sought after thing. Well, you did, but
I
you're not going to get the thing you're
did.
there for. You're going to deal with confusion. But I got to have in and out, so who's laughing?
It's so funny because Y'all West just made a post and they're like, "It was the first time ever we had rain at Y'all West." And I was like, "Mandy."
What can I say except you're welcome? And then we did Disneyland. First, we went to Downtown Disney because I didn't get to go last time. I was at Disneyland, so that was a treat. We ate a yummy lunch. We went to the Lego store and World of Disney, which is shockingly smaller than my World of Disney. Like, I was like, where's all the stuff?
Mandy was so confused that we were like still in the city. Like Disneyland's
Yeah.
just in the middle of the
Oh
city.
my God. Yeah, you get off the freeway and you are in the parking lot
It's
and
right
it's
there.
like, no, you're on Disney property for 10 minutes before you get to like the parking for any of the parks. So like they have when you start to see the purple signs, you know you're in Disney. They turn from green to purple and you are all your problems go away. I did get to get some good souvenirs for my people at home though. Then we went back to the hotel for a little bit and then Disneyland for the least Star Wars people you know to go to Star Wars night for May the 4th.
But it
It
was
was a good
great
time.
for rides, man.
Yeah, we walked on 99% of the rides we wanted to ride.
Or it was like 30 minutes, like which is
Yeah,
unheard
yeah.
of for some
And
of
that was
those.
only because they had like someone trying to test to get in their seat and make sure like he was really tall and could fit. So it was like shut down for a few minutes. Our churros at the World are trash. I hate to say it, but it's the truth. As much of a world loyalist as I am, our churros are not, they should not be called churros. They should not be called Disney churros. Can I get a little recognition for my surviving the whole night
You
on
did.
an
She
East Coast
did.
sleep schedule?
Mandy, we
I
were there
rallied.
until 1
I did
a.m.
it. I don't know
Pacific
how.
time, and then we didn't get back to the hotel until probably we were closer to 2 because we had to wait for our people to get out of Disneyland.
Yeah. Which is
So it
5 a.m.
was
for me.
5 a.m. Mandy's body was like, "It is 5 a.m. and she was just getting to bed. So we a little
I
commotion,
know.
everybody, a little commotion
Yeah.
because that was
Like, you
shocking.
can clap. It's fine. That was hard. Then I flew home, and after giving myself like half a day to recover, which wasn't long enough, I immediately jumped into a job transition. So, and two furniture trade-offs. So that's been fun. And I've been listening to A Tribute of Fire by Soraya Wilson too. So that's
Yes.
helped me through chaos of changing jobs
Yeah.
the week of a vacation.
Yeah, we couldn't have timed things worse if we tried. Truly.
Right.
Truly could
We
not have.
didn't time y'all west
That's
though.
true.
So
That's true. But like
blame Tejada. Don't you
timing,
dare blame Tejada.
no. Timing just in general could not have been worse
Yeah.
for us personally.
And now I have the Disney travel funk. So
Yeah.
yay.
Yay.
Tell me about your week, whatever I missed and what you read and
I just I we okay, so Mandy was up until 5 a.m., right? I went to bed at 8 p.m., you guys. Like
we
that's we
switched.
switch, and I was like
This is the
that
parent
this
trap or
is
something.
unheard of. Me going to bed early? Are you kidding me?
Right.
That's how tired I am from this past weekend. So the fact that we are rallying and still doing this, I'm proud of us.
Look at us go. Who'd have thought?
Not me. Definitely not me.
Not me, definitely not me.
So I read Crown So Silver by Lyra Celine. This is the sequel to A Feather So Black. So I can't say much of anything, but love, love, love. I can't wait for the finale, and I'm like 90% sure that this is a trilogy. So it is the next book is a f the finale. I'm pretty sure it's a trilogy, and if it's not, I'll be really upset. But love, love, love. Then I read The Hawthorne Legacy and The Final Gamut, which are the sequels to the Inheritance games. So
Do
again,
you
I
have a
can't.
favorite brother now?
I love them all so much. I
Okay.
do. I love them all so much. I saw some. It's really funny because I was listening to the Hawthorne Legacy as I was scrolling social media, and somebody said something like, "I something about like having to DNF the Inheritance Game series because she ended up with the wrong brother," and I was like, "But the series is so good." Like,
I feel like I
I.
was a Jackson girly, I think. I can't
Jameson.
remember. Jameson, maybe that's his name.
It was between Grayson and Jameson, or the two
Jameson.
brothers. And
I knew it was just son.
yeah. But I don't know. I love all the brothers. I love them
I'll
all.
need to reread the first one and then finish.
But yeah, I just love, love, love. Jennifer Lynn Barnes is so good at making things like super twisty, and like unexpected. And I'm so excited to read like the other books that are set in the same world because like that's the end of the trilogy, but like there's other books that she wrote still in the same world. So I'm very excited for that. I read The Son of Sobek by Rick Riordan, which is like a novella length story. It's the first book in like the a crossover series between the Percy Jackson world and the Kane Chronicles world. So this one you have Percy and Carter fighting off this like crocodile god thing and becoming aware that there are like other pantheons of gods other than the
Oh.
ones that they know. Though obviously Percy knows like Percy's aware that like there's the Roman pantheon on of gods, but like it's different because the Roman and the Greek gods are the same gods just with different names. And
Yeah,
now
different
he's
name.
like, wait, Egyptian gods, they exist too? And Carter's
Yeah,
like,
what the heck?
wait, what do you mean? And so there was this, I don't want to say funny, but there was like this interaction where Percy, it's, I think the whole story is told from Carter's POV. So there's this one part where Percy is like, oh, something about how, oh, you must also be a half-blood. And Carter's half black. And so he had a moment where he was like, what did he just call me? And then like it's explained later because he's like, oh, you're also a demigod, blah 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 kind of thing. And so Carter is
Yeah.
like, that's not what he meant. But there was like a moment
Yeah.
where I was like, oh shit. Things are about to
Yeah.
go down. But it was cleared up very quickly. But it was like,
Yeah.
whew. But yeah, it's Rick Riordan, you know. It's cute. It's like 90 pages, so it's a really quick read. And I'm slowly making my way through all of Rick Riordan's backlist, like in publication order, which is why this was part of it. And then The Survivor Wants to Die at the End by Adam
I don't want to
Silvera.
know.
The title
You need to give a
says,
d disclaimer.
yes, I
The
do.
dog is fine.
The dog is fine. I do have to give a disclaimer.
Yeah.
There is a dog. He, because his name is Bucky. The dog's name is Bucky. The dog was adopted, an elderly dog. He had a cancer scare. They treated him. He's fine. He's in remission. The dog is fine as of this book.
The dog survives at the end.
The dog survives at the end of this book. Now, the title of this book says everything that you need to know about this book, just like the other Deathcast books say about their individual books. Of course, I love, love, love. It's Adam Silvera. I will be handing Adam my therapy bills in person when I see him on tour in a couple weeks. So this specific story follows Paz Dario, who was a kid during the First to Die at the End. If you'll recall, and I guess spoilers for the First to Die at the End, he is a kid when it's Valentino and Orion is the first to die at the end, right? And Rufus and Mateo are, they both die at the end. Yes. Yes. So Valentino and Orion go into, I can't remember whose apartment building it is, but they go into an apartment building. They hear, and again, spoilers for the first to die at the end. If you haven't read it, skip ahead like 30 seconds.
Earmuffs.
Something. So they go into an apartment building. They hear a man is like, not, it's domestic violence against his wife. The kid screams out for help. That kid is Paz Dario. So, Valentino goes to help, and that's, things happen. But
That's how it
Paz,
happened. Yeah.
the kid, goes and runs and grabs a gun and shoots his dad. And so he's now grown up. So that kid is
Yeah.
now one of the main characters of The Survivor Wants to Die at the End. He is the survivor. And so, and then the other main character is Alano, who is the kid of the Deathcast creator. And he's being kind of groomed in order to become the heir to Deathcast. And so this whole story is them kind of trying to navigate their very, very different lives. Alano is dealing with death threats, obviously, because of Deathcast and all of that. And then Paz is de navigating suicidal ideation while in a world of Deathcast being able to tell them if they're going to die that day. And, it's Adam Silvera. So, of course, they're going to fall in love and it's going to be heartbreaking. But this is the first, I think this is like the next book, which is, I think they're keeping the same title. No One Knows Who Dies at the End, is going to continue their story, as far as I can tell. Based on what Adam has said and based on how this book ends. And I was very, very dumb, in which I thought I knew what like the big surprise at the end, what the big twist at the end was going to be. I was wrong. I was wrong. And just Adam, how dare you? How dare you? How dare you? But it's so good. I
He's a
just,
monster.
he's a monster and we love him right through the
We do
heart.
that.
We do. And yeah, so that's what I read. I obviously I attended Y'all West and Disneyland with Mandy. I don't have anything to add. It was lovely. At first I was like low key upset that the first drop, like Coldwire was the first arc drop of the day. And then I was like, you know what? No, I'm good. I got it.
Yeah,
I
now you
can
don't have to
live the rest of the
worry.
day. Like if nothing, if I nothing else goes right for me for the rest of this day, at least I have Coldwire. That's,
And it
I'm
was
good.
stamped and signed.
Yes, it is stamped and signed, so it's very cool. And of course I got to go see Chloe again. I got to talk to her. And actually, bonus, Chloe had posted that she had found some art prints from like the R Violent Ends like pre-order incentive, and she's like, I'm gonna bring these, so if you come and see me, I'll give you them. And I walked, and when I went up to her table, she was like, do you have these? And it was the Immortal Longings art print, and I was like, I think so, but she was like, here, have one anyways. And I was like, actually, do you have these Violent Delights, the other ones? And she was like, wait a minute. So let me tell you how meant to be this was, because she had had people who were like, hey, I don't know if I'm gonna make it. Can you hold a couple back for me? They ended up in her line before, like when she had them on the table, and they were able to get them from her off the table. So she had run out on the table, but when I asked her, she's like, I still have those two that I was holding back for
Oh
these
my
other people.
gosh, I didn't
And
know
so
about
it
this.
was meant to be. So they're here. I've been like, this is amazing. It was meant to be.
That is so cool.
So it's very exciting. And I think that's pretty much how my week went. I'm still very sleepy,
Me
but
too.
that's kind of just how life is. I do want to show you this. I got this while I was out of town. So Vanessa sent me a copy of her book, but look at these edges. First of all, this, and then
Beautiful.
she sent me a little. It's
Oh, that
so cute. I'm so excited to just like put them on my shelf.
is so cute. Yeah.
So I just wanted to show that off because I was like, that's so pretty. Thank you, Vanessa. Love her.
Love her, love her, love her.
And I don't think I have anything else to add. If I do, I'm sorry, it's not in my notes.
Hey. It was a good weekend. That's all we need to know.
Yes.
Do you happen to have a fictional boyfriend this week?
Can I say all of the Hawthorne brothers? Every single one of them?
At the
Listen,
same damn time.
I think Nash is like hilarious. Grayson and Jameson are obviously the love interest, and then Xander, I want him to be my best Hawthorne friend forever, just like he is with Avery. So like he can be my bestie, and then Grayson and Jameson can be my boyfriends, and Nash can be like the annoying older brother who will be super overprotective. And that's
I
exactly
like
the roles
that.
that they all take, and I love them all equally. So I'm gonna go with that.
Okay.
How about you?
I put the Guardian. I literally wrote hot, grumpy, gimme.
Need we say more, honestly?
No, you don't really have
Nope.
to say, like, once you meet the Guardian,
You
the
literally were like
five
God of
pages
War.
into the book, you're
You were
like,
like
oh.
God, possibly God of War, and I'm just like, okay, tell me more.
You're so
Yes.
pretty. You're so
Okay.
grumpy. You just get mad.
Say less. Say less.
Yes. So
Love, love,
it's
love.
the Guardian.
Good choice. Good choice. Yay. That sound means we have an intruder alert.
This is such an exciting
I'm so
intruder.
excited. You guys, we have Soraya Wilson, author of many things, but we're going to be talking about A Tribute of Fire and A Vow of Embers today. We're so excited to have you here. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being here. So first off, we always like to ask, like, can you give us the elevator pitch for, I guess, the series as a whole, for anybody who hasn't heard of it?
No, I'm really bad at that.
That's like the one question where all authors are like,
Deer in the
no,
headlights, like,
can't do
please,
that.
no. Yeah, I can write a 200,000-word book, but don't ask me to summarize it. Yeah. I mean, I have people for that. There's a reason. No, it's a princess from a dying nation. It enters a death race to get a relic to save her people, and things are complicated by who else is chosen alongside her and the sailor who is trying to distract her from her goal.
That is
That's
the
a
perfect
really, yeah,
description.
perfect description.
You did great.
Thank you. So there is so much world building involved in creating this like entire world from scratch. How did this story come about and this world, and how do you keep everything organized? It's actually kind of funny. I used to write rom-coms before this, and I Yeah. was doing one called The Seat Filler that I wrote after I met Adam Driver.
I'm
And
sorry. I'm wait,
sorry.
you
I'm
can't just
sorry.
blow
I'm
past
sorry. That's my man. You can't just, we gotta hear this. Well,
I
then I
gotta
have
hear
a
this.
story for you. I have a story for you. Okay. So I am a huge Star Wars nerd, right? Like, pathetically so. And the last movie happened, and I was like, this cannot be the end. Like, I remember turning around and thinking, he cannot be dead. Like, this did not just happen. There has to be an alternate ending. And I said out loud, I want to ask Adam Driver if there's an alternate ending. The next day, there's this website that I go to for charity auctions. And they had one to meet him at the SAG Awards. It was in 2020. So right before the pandemic. And I'm like, well, I'm going to win that. And I did.
And I took my little 12-year-old daughter with me, and they had us out on the red carpet, and they were like, we were like in bleachers on the red carpet, so the celebrities could come up to you, but like there's, you know, you're way up
Right.
on a bleacher. But I mean, we had like Helena Bonham Carter come over and ask how to spell my name, sign an autograph for me, and Carrie Elwes. And I'm like, as you wish. The Fonz came over and told my daughter she was beautiful. You know, like all the Stranger Things kids came over to her. She was so excited. So I'm like, my tip for you, if you ever want to go to an event like this and get autographs, take a 12-year-old with you because everybody wanted to come see her. So I
Yes.
didn't intend that. It just happened. But having this great night, you know, Rachel Brosnahan came over and signed my
Die.
daughter's autograph book as Tits Up. Like it was hilarious. But so
On brand.
I'm there to meet Adam Driver, right? So he walks on to the red carpet and he's a head taller than everybody else. And my brain turned off. Like I was fine the
Yeah.
rest of the day. I'm like, you look great. Good luck tonight. You know, he starts walking towards us and I'm like, what is happening right now? Like, what is
I
going on?
would
What am I
die.
doing? And he comes over and he shakes our hand, shakes my hand. And so, like, if I ever do podcasts, they do like two truths and a lie. Like, one of my truths is I held hands with Adam Driver. It was like for a second, but
It
so it
happened.
happened. He shakes our hands and he's like, thank you so much for donating. It's so great, guys, to be here. Where are you from? And I stood there and I was like, why does Adam Driver care where I'm from? And I literally just stood there and he goes, where are you from? I'm like, Utah. I'm from Utah. You know, so it was this like completely humiliating experience. My 12-year-old filmed the entire thing. If you go to my Instagram page on the, you know, highlights, it's there. She filmed it. But he was so nice. And I learned later, like he hates red carpets. He hates small talk. And I made this man carry the conversation, you know, 'cause I was just like, oh, but he signed autographs for us. He, took pictures with us. It's like professional video of him coming over and meeting with us. It's really fun. And he shook our hands again and walked off. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a story, right? Like, girl meets her favorite celebrity at an event, can't talk. And so the seat filler came out of that. But I was looking up something in there. There was a reference to Cassandra, the girl from Greek mythology who would always tell the future, but nobody believed her. And I'm like, am I
Right.
using this correctly? So I looked it up and it's Wikipedia. And I like, what happened to Cassandra? And so I started reading and it talked about how after the Trojan War, she was taken by Ajax the Lesser from Locris and she was assaulted. And Athena was pissed and was like, that's my priestess. What are you guys doing? Punish him. And the Greeks are like, you know, men are gonna men. What do you want us to do? Which is why she blew everybody off course. That's why the Odyssey happens because of what
Yeah.
Ajax did to Cassandra. And then, you know, he gets punished by, he gets out in the ocean and Athena took one of Zeus's lightning bolts and struck his ship and he survived, clinging to a rock saying, not even the gods can kill him. And Poseidon's like, let's see about that and sucked him down and he was
Right.
dead.
Yeah.
But as recompense for doing that, because he was from Locris, they had to send two maidens every year to recompense for this priestess being taken. And it said they would race for the temple. And it said, but only if they made it there alive. And I'm like, well, why wouldn't they make it there alive? So
Oh,
I started doing
right.
research, and there's so little known about this event. Very little study has been done. It was real. Like, I'm not saying Greek gods are real, but I'm saying the Locrian maidens, the Trojan War was real, right?
Right.
Locrian maidens were real. Like, for 1,000 years, they were sent. And they tried some of the things I talk about in the book. They tried, like, sending babies. Like, sure, they won't kill babies. They did.
Oh,
So some scholars say they don't think it was a real thing. They think it was like a scapegoat, like it was ceremonial. But I'm like, why they have to send two every year then if it was just pretend, you know, like
Right.
I think they were killing them.
Oh my
So, I mean,
gosh.
I was a history major. So I'm like going to my local university and checking out all the books. I'm contacting professors. There's this one guy I was talking to. He helped me come up with the word Adelphia for my sisterhood. But I said, okay, here's what I've read about Locrian maidens. What else can I read? He goes, I'm pretty sure you know more about Locrian maidens than anybody else at this point. So I did all the research because it was just fascinating to me because I thought, here you are sending these women who were not accountable, who did not do this,
Right.
who shouldn't have to pay this price, and they're being slaughtered every year. You know, I thought, well, what, how do I stop it? You know, what made it stop?
Yeah.
Like we have all these records of like kings weighing in on this and what people had to do. Like the laws I talk about are real laws. The descendants of Ajax actually had laws to defend them because they were being hunted. So it was all just it was just fascinating to me and really informed how the story was told. But I thought, so how do I stop this? I thought, who's gonna, you know, learn and train and be ready to fight? It would have to be like a princess or nobility, right? Like she'd have to have the resources and the ability to do so. So the story just started building from there.
Oh my
I
gosh.
love that.
That's amazing.
I don't know how you're sitting here because if I met Adam Driver, I would die. We are not Star Wars people at all, and we were at Disneyland for Star Wars night on May the 4th.
Yeah, it was,
And
I
the
don't know
whole
how that
time,
happened.
My head was on a swivel because I was like, they're going to bring Adam Driver out. I just know it. They brought Diego Luna out, which was like,
I
that's
saw
cool.
that. I saw that. I'm so jealous. But yeah, I actually just saw Adam Driver in October. He's doing that Broadway play.
My gosh.
And I went to go see him, you guys, and I've already seen him, already talked to him. And do you think I was okay seeing him again and getting another
Oh yeah,
autograph?
like
Nope.
how do you
I would stop breathing.
how do
I would
you
stop breathing.
It was bad.
I love that like low key Adam Driver is what how you got to this story.
Yeah,
Like
it is. I
thank
feel
you,
that's
Adam
like he's
Driver,
now
for guiding us here.
responsible for two books now, basically. And like I
Yeah.
wanted to tell him that, but I didn't. So
Well, I mean, technically the seat filler, and then this is a trilogy, right? So four
yeah,
books,
book four.
technically.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
guess. Yeah.
That's
Dang. And that's
wild.
also Tribute of Fire is also very Raylo coded. My Raylo girls out
I was
there.
gonna say that's
So
the dedication.
yeah.
yeah.
See, and I you may not appreciate this as a Star Wars person, but I didn't get interested until Star Wars became enemies to lovers with somebody that looked like Adam Driver.
Right.
And then I was like, I could
I
do
can do
this.
this. I can,
Yeah, I can
yeah.
handle this.
I
It's my
love
favorite. I love Enemies to Lovers. That's my favorite.
it's the best. It's truly the best.
Yes.
So like you said, you came from rom-com. So what was kind of the process for you to like go from writing that to writing romanticy? Like, did you have to kind of shift your writing process, or did everything kind of stay the same?
It was really interesting. I did it because I mean, I would go on podcasts like this and they would say, if you weren't writing romance, what other genre would you be writing in? And I would always say fantasy because that's my house growing up. My dad had fantasy books. My mom had Harlequins by the truckload. That's what I was raised on, you know? So I think when romanticism started being a thing, like I was very excited about that when ACOTAR and, you know, Fourth Wing, it's like, oh, wait, this is happening now. Because for so long, fantasy was written for men by men,
Yeah.
not to generalize, but, you know, to generalize.
There,
And
that's right. No, it's true.
The romance just was not great, you know? And I'm like, where's all the fun stuff in here? So I always, when it started becoming something, I was like, I really want to do that. But, you know, my brand was these, you know, rom-coms, and they're like, oh, don't get away from that. And then what happened is we had a medical emergency in my family, and insurance wouldn't cover it. And it was like a ridiculous amount of money. And we had to take out a second on our house to pay for it. And, you know, my husband understandably was freaked out. And how are we going to pay this back? I said, I'll write a book. And he's like, I love you and I support you, but you've never made that much like from writing. So I'm very worried. I said, no, I'll write a romanticy. I'll get it done. And I did. I sat down, I wrote this. It was 159,000 words and I wrote it in 39 days. It's just like,
My
it just
God.
poured out of me because I had been thinking about it for so long. It'd probably been a,
Yeah.
like 3 years that I kind of had it just percolating in my head. So I knew what was going to happen and, you know, but it just came out and it was so easy because when I'm writing a rom-com, there's so much structure. Is there, you've got to balance the comedy with the romance. And am I telling a joke I've already told? Am I doing a character arc I've already done? Am I having the same story again? Because readers do pick up on that, you know? And so it becomes harder to write, I think, the longer you go on, that you don't want to be retreading ground you've already done. And so this was like completely different. Like there was no structure. It was just tell this story. I don't outline or anything like that. I just sit down and write. And pretty much the first draft is really similar to what you get in your hands. So this is a process that works for me. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody else, but it is pretty much for like a month, all I'm doing is writing. Like I stop to eat and drink and go to the bathroom, but that's pretty much it. But it's like I'm living in the book. You know, it's what I'm doing all day long. So yeah, it was a different process, just in that it didn't feel as hard. It was actually very simple.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Yeah. Oh, and so when we sold it, finish that story. When we sold it, the first payment I got from my publisher was enough to pay off the second on the
I was
house.
gonna
So,
say, that's
yeah.
awesome.
That's amazing. I love that. So, suck
And
it,
I hope
husband.
everybody's like okay too. Like that,
Yeah.
of course. Like, hope
Yeah,
everybody's
yeah.
okay.
Everything, we're doing well. Yeah.
Good,
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 good.
good. Can we talk about the Guardians of the Library?
Yes, we can. And
It's
I have to tell you why it's in there.
Please, that's the question.
It comes from doing research. So I was looking up just ancient battles and wars and stuff. So there was a time that the Roman Empire was being attacked by the Gauls, and the Gauls had laid siege at Rome. And what had happened was they started throwing over meat for the guard dogs in the middle of the night, and got all the dogs to be quiet because they were eating their steaks, right? And they climbed over the wall. and were coming to attack. And they got as far as Hera, Juno's temple in Rome. And geese are her sacred animal. And the geese started freaking out and honking. And it alerted all the Romans, and they came running. And that's why Rome, stayed as long as it did. Like, it would have fallen that night had it not been for the geese. And geese are such great protectors, but they are such evil birds. Like,
They're so
they're
mean.
horrible. And I get American people are like, "Why are you so mean about geese?" And the Canadians are like, "Oh my gosh, yes, they're
The
terrible, terrible
geese, yeah.
animals." And the story I tell too is, I had an aunt who she loves animals, like always has at least six dogs in her house, but all the different kinds of animals that she's always taken care of. And so one year she had geese that she raised from little babies. And there was a neighborhood robbery where a guy used a gun at a store, and he was running from the police, and he was hopping fences, through backyards to get away from the police. And he hopped into my aunt's backyard, and then he hopped back over and turned himself in because the geese had gone nuts on him. So I thought, geese are not to be messed
No,
with.
they are not.
Oh my
I
goodness.
thought, and
So
I,
scary.
but in the ancient world, they used geese as protectors. They used them as guards. And I don't think we realize that. And people think, oh, it's kind of funny. I'm like,
No,
no, this is
that's
a real thing. I
amazing.
just thought they were mean now. I didn't
No,
realize
they've
they've
always been
always
mean.
been mean.
They've
Yeah.
always been mean. Oh, that's
Oh, they're always been
so
horrible.
brilliant.
That's
Just
amazing.
brilliant.
I love that so much. Okay, so you mentioned that you didn't really outline for this book. You just kind of it all poured out of you. Did all three books pour out of you, or did you
Yeah.
like all together? So you wrote
Yeah.
everything all
I don't have
together
one.
and
Yeah,
then
book two. No, I didn't write it all together. I wrote book one, and then a couple months later I wrote book two, and that one was 179,000, and that was 31 days. And then book three, I'm gonna say it's 147,000, and it was 35, if I remember correctly. But spaced out. And I was kind of hoping I'd have more time so that I could get readers' reactions and seeing what people thought of things, and maybe I changed something and that didn't happen because I write very fast, and so there was a much bigger reaction to this series than my publisher was anticipating, like with pre-orders for book two. And so they said, "Can you write book three really fast, and we'll get it out this year?" And I'm like, "All right." So book three's done, the whole series is done. I'm very sad. Like, I'm trying to figure out how I can get back in this world because I love it so much. But yeah, it was all done pretty fast.
That's
That is
crazy. That's
incredible.
amazing. Meanwhile, I'm
So.
over here sitting on 5 years of writing the same
I
story.
know, same.
I'm like,
Yeah.
wait, that's magic.
I cannot believe it.
So
So what does it feel like to go from rom-toms to romanticy? Like, what is that transition like?
well, it's been a bigger transition for me because my rom-coms were sweet, and this series is not. And it is much spicier and steamier. I've already had some backlash that I knew would be coming. But that probably has been the biggest shift. And I actually sent all my on the page scenes to my agent and my editor, like, "Are these okay? Like, are regular readers gonna like this? I don't know," because it's not what I've been writing. And so it feels very that felt very foreign. So I guess we'll
Right.
see what people think. But yeah,
I'm
that
loving
was a big
it.
shift for me. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I think when you've been in the space for as long as you have, and I think you've mentioned this, it's like you kind of do have to like change things up so that people aren't feeling like things get repetitive. So I feel like And you're not, I think you're not the only like closed door author who has like transitioned slowly to on the page. So I think that's just kind of how romance writing goes. It's like sometimes you just gotta do it. Just like
Yeah.
they
Well,
do.
and sometimes the market's calling for different things. Sometimes people are like, they want super steamy and spicy, and then you see a pullback where they're like, "I just want very sweet, just romance, And so you kind of have to go where the market is. And right now, I'll tell you, sweet's not doing as well in the market at the
No.
moment. So steam is kind of where it's at right now.
I mean, either
That's
way,
okay.
we appreciate it. Like,
That's good. Either
as
way.
long as the
Yeah.
romance is there, like, that's what I live for.
Yes. I
Yeah,
just
me
need some
too.
pining. That's all. That's what I live for.
Yes. Love it.
Okay, so we don't want to keep you too long, but we do have a couple of questions that we always ask. And this is going to be where any type of media you've ever consumed leaves your brain. And
Yeah.
you're going to be like, I
Yes.
don't know. What's a book? What's a
I've
TV show?
never
I have
have
no
I
idea.
do what are words?
So we have a segment that we like to call Fictional Boyfriend of the Week. And it doesn't have to be a boyfriend, but we pick a fictional character that's resonated with us that week. We've had fictional boyfriends. Karen's had a fictional granny. I've had a fictional son. We've had fictional pets. Do you have any fictional characters, and it doesn't have to be someone you've written, and it doesn't have to be from a book, where you're like, that is my comfort character, that is my bestie, that is my boo that everybody should meet?
Kylo Ren. I think you had to
Fair.
ask
We
that,
did see
right?
Kylo at Disneyland. He told us to get out of the way.
I have
He
never
said
seen him.
it
All the
was
times
so
I've gone,
hot.
I've never seen him. I'm so
He
bummed.
walked right by us. Like he was
I
like
just kind
so
of froze.
he was like so close that my daughter was like my daughter was literally like
Fair.
in his path. I had to pull her out of the
I'm just filming because I'm like, this is so hot, I could die.
way.
Kylo Ren just told me to get out of the way.
You get it. And I'll tell you, I went to Disneyland Paris in April with my daughter. I had a signing in Paris that we did. And we got to the Star Tours ride and we got the Kylo Ren one and he yelled at us in French. I'm like, why is this so sexy?
Oh my
So
gosh, that's amazing.
I can't handle it. I can't. I can't do it.
I love it. That's amazing.
Oh,
Okay, so kind of along the same lines, the other question we always ask is, we know we love your books and we're going to be recommending those, but we want to know, like, what are you reading? What are you recommending? Do you have like an all-time favorite? Anything like that?
no. It's the same with movies. Like, you couldn't ask me my favorite movie. Like, I would never be able to do that. I just think there's so many books I love. There's authors I love, like Maeve Binchy. Her stuff is so different than mine, but I just adore her. She's an Irish writer. I grew up reading Terry Brooks, the Shannara series. I like was gonna name my daughter Shannara. Like, that's how serious I was about it. I'm just really I would read almost anything, and I tend to love everything I'm reading.
I'm
I've
the
been
same
reading,
way.
yeah, I just. You know, Fourth Wing, I just finished Onyx Storm like yesterday, I think, because I didn't have time to read it because I was writing. So I'm like, I need to read this before I get spoiled. Love
What an
that.
ending. Fair.
Everybody's like, I wasn't expecting that. I'm like, I've been expecting that. What are you talking? You were what? Like, it's gonna be okay. It's a romance. We're gonna be okay.
But it's
But
gonna
I
take
don't know
time to get
how.
there. It's
We'll
gonna
figure it
take time.
out. It'll be all right.
Yes, we'll
So
survive.
yeah, we'll survive. But I like that one. And then the Hurricane Wars, I've been really enjoying.
Oh,
Dave Wanzon,
yes. Oh, my
that's been really
yes.
fun.
That is so
Allie
Raylo
Hazel will eat
coded.
anything she writes.
Well, that's
Well, she it
because,
is. It
yeah,
was
well, it is,
a
yeah.
Raylo fanfic.
But, like,
And Allie Hazel
so
Wood is
Allie
so
Hazel
Raylo
would too,
coded
yeah.
anyways.
Yeah. And she is so sweet, you guys. She's coming out here in May and I'm like, we're having dinner. And she's like, okay. But yeah, anything she
Love.
writes, she is the nicest person. Like, if you're supporting Allie Hazelwood, know that you are supporting the nicest person alive.
Yeah.
She's I don't know.
amazing.
She did stress
So
us out recently
she
when she
did.
said she was Team Gale instead of Team PETA in the Hunger Games.
It's okay.
That was
I'm
heartbreaking.
scared. We'll fix it.
That
We'll
was
fix it. We'll
heartbreaking.
get it. You
We
gotta
can
talk to her. You guys had dinner.
you guys,
Fix
we can
it.
fix her. We can fix
Fix
her.
her.
Oh my
Okay,
goodness.
so what comes next? I mean, what can you tell us about book three? Any secrets that you can spill about any projects that you have coming?
That's the thing is, I finished book three. I don't want to spoil. I am such a spoiler. I'm a person who goes and looks up how a movie ends before I go see it. Like, I want to know the spoilers. So it's really hard for me not to share those, but I don't want to wreck anything for anyone. But I absolutely love it. I'm so excited with how it went and what happened. And I think there's going to be so many great twists and turns, and people will enjoy it.
And it's out
And
this
what I'm
year?
working on, it's coming out in December. So the book two's out in July, and then book three is out in December. I saw two covers yesterday that they're considering, and
Oh my
they're just
gosh.
gorgeous. I'm very excited.
That's so exciting.
And I actually don't have anything coming up beyond this. I'm for like the first time in my career at a point where I don't have new contracts and it feels very weird. So I don't know what's going to happen next.
Oh, that's
Oh my
fun.
gosh.
That's
Well, I
like
know whatever
okay.
it is, it's going to be
It's
incredible.
gonna be great.
Oh,
I
thank you.
do
Thank
we
you.
do have to say, like, thank you
Oh,
so
yeah.
much for like not making us wait.
Yes.
I get it. People need to take time to write, but like thank you for giving us a trilogy in 2 years. Like, really
Yeah.
appreciate that. 'Cause
You're welcome.
easily stressed, very high anxiety over here. Like, just tell me how it ends.
Did you get to read Ballot Members?
We have it, and
Okay.
I'm ready, I'm
Yeah.
ready. I'm just like
Okay.
life, but I'm
We're
like
on it.
devouring it. I'm going through. I'm
Yeah.
going. I'm trying to get through
Yeah.
them as quickly as possible. But now I'm like, and the third one
You
comes
want
out
to
in
savor at
December.
the same time.
Yeah,
Like, don't want to
exactly.
rush.
Yeah.
So.
I was just asking because it's like it does live a little bit of a cliffhanger, but not really. So it's not going to be as dramatic as book one, just FYI.
But we have until December. I can live a couple months, I think,
Yeah,
maybe.
for sure. For
And you guys are
sure.
lucky that you got the early copies because we're doing a kind of a arc freeze. We're not putting it on NetGalley. We're only sending out a few copies. So
I know.
it's not worth.
I saw you post and I was like, wait, but we want to talk about it too. Let us in.
Yeah.
Or that meme, like, let us in.
Well, because of the podcast, I sent it to you, so
We appreciate it.
good way to get it. Yeah,
So,
you're welcome.
so excited. Well, we do have to let you know a little bit of bad news. Maybe not for book three, but we do have to say, now that you've been on the podcast, you are actually legally obligated to come back for future book releases. So, once
And
that next
only not
project,
for book three because we'll be
we'll
on
be on
break
break. We take a break
for
for the
the
winter.
holidays.
But anything after that, we're ready. We're excited.
I'm here. Yeah, let me
Whenever.
know. I'll be here.
So exciting. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for being here. So everybody, book one is out now, A Tribute of
Yeah,
Fire.
I've
Book two
Tribute of
is
Fire. I
coming
have a copy and I put it down
in a safe
where I knew
space.
I would have it for the podcast.
Yeah. And
Where is that place? I don't know. I
it's
don't
somewhere.
know.
I have
But yay.
It's
It's so
beautiful.
pretty.
It's
And then
so
book
gorgeous. And I'm
two
like, where
comes
did I
out.
put
What did you
it?
say? July? June, July?
July 8th.
July. There we
Yeah.
go. So A Vow at Embers book two comes out on July 8th, and then book three comes out in December. Oh my
That's
gosh.
incredible.
That's so exciting. Thank you so much, Soraya, for this. This has been so much fun. I especially love when our authors are like really into history or are historians. I'm just like,
Yes, or
I feel
put in the
like, oh,
research.
it tells me so
Incredible.
much. I like learn so much, not just about writing, but like history. I'm not a
Yeah.
history girly, so I'm like, thank you for informing me of things.
Yeah.
Thank you for this. This has been a
Thank
blast. We
you. We
can't wait
had
for
a
the next.
blast. Thank you. I appreciate it. This was fun. But yeah, I'll definitely be back if you'll have me.
Yes,
Yes,
absolutely.
absolutely.
Absolutely. Thank
We'll
you. We'll
talk to you
talk
soon.
soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Oh my gosh, she's so fun.
I
I am
love her.
so happy for her and not at all jealous.
I was like, Mandy is hearing the story and
It's
slowly
like,
dying
man,
inside. Oh my
I
gosh,
know.
that is she's so cool. Also,
It's not fair.
that thing she said about bringing a 12-year-old with you, I'm like, this is why I bring my child with me everywhere. Like, everybody wants to
Listen,
talk
I'm
to the
just saying
child.
that, and everyone wants to talk to the set of twins.
Or they want to come pet the dog.
Or they want to come pet the dog.
Like, we
I'm just
definitely,
saying.
like, ugh,
Oh, I
love
can't
them.
wait for book three. I can't
I'm
wait to bring
so
Soraya
excited,
back.
y'all.
That was so fun.
That was so much fun. Seriously, go pick up. I don't want to stop reading. I'm like, I just want to keep
No,
going. And I'm
I
stressed
know.
out. I'm stressed out because I'm like, what's gonna happen? Oh, I'm stressed.
Well, let's
But
wrap up this episode and we can get back to it.
yes, sounds good. All right, time for an announcement.
Yes.
Okay,
Oh,
so
I gotta pull it
next week.
open.
Oh,
Hold
are you
on.
ready? I don't know. Are
I
you
am
ready?
almost ready.
I'm like, while I talk, you can pull that together. Anyways, next week we do have another interview, and it is with Jane L. Rosen? 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 I don't know. We'll find
Frozen.
out. Rosen,
Maybe. I'm ready.
for Song of Summer. I'm so excited. Hilariously, I was telling this to Mandy. I was like looking it up for some reason or another and found out this is the third book in a series of standalones. So obviously, I went and borrowed the first two from Libby because I am nothing if not neurotic.
I
So
got mine, I think, and then put it down somewhere that I would remember where it was.
you put it in a safe space, which
I put
means
it in a
you'll
safe
never
space that I
find it
could
again.
remember. Never see it again.
Yeah.
But yay, we're so
I'm
excited.
so excited. It's gonna be so much fun. Can't
Yeah,
wait. Okay, time for a spiel.
let's do a spiel.
All right, let's do it. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, follow, and subscribe wherever you're listening to us. Follow us on social media. We are at The Incoherent Fangirl on all the things. Visit our website, theincoherentfangirl.com, where you can also stream all of our episodes as well as read our blog. Head over and subscribe to our Patreon for early access to podcast episodes, full video episodes, and bonus content. If you're a merch person, you can head over and do some self-care and shop our merch store, theincoherentfangirl.com/shop. And if you have any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, design ideas you want to tell us that we're pretty We will accept all of that in our
Yeah.
inbox, theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. We love hearing from y'all. And of course, one last way to support the podcast is to rate and review on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Please give us your words. You know how we
We
love
love
words.
your words.
Words are our fave. Please and thank you. And she is at Mandy Perv on all the things.
She's that Ms. Made in China on all the things.
And once you followed us on social media and you followed the podcast on social media, you can head over and do some more self-care and visit our internet besties because, as the name suggests, they are the best.
The besties.
First stop, you're gonna go to Here Comes the Nerd and get your pins and artsy goodies. Use code FANGIRL to get 20% off your first order.
Then you're going to head over to onceuponabookclub.com. You can get a subscription. You can get some standalone boxes. They have, hopefully they don't sell out by the time you're hearing this, but they have the Southwind box coming
I'm
from
so
when I read the
excited.
Northwind. I think they have another box in between. But anyways, new box soon. It's already out if you're listening to this. And you can use either code Mandy10 or Karen10 for 10% off. We don't care which one you choose. We love you no matter what. Either code's going to get you a discount, but you have to spell Karen right. Or what are we going to do? We're going to make you go to a cold and rainy y'all event in the drizzling rain.
Yeah, not the
Yep.
books.
And you're going to come home with
The
the
funk.
funk.
Yep, that's fair.
So spell Karen right.
Yes, please. Then you're gonna head over and visit our friend Amber D. Lewis at amberdlewis.com. Add 10 of everything to your cart. Use code FANGIRL10 and you'll get 10% off the 10 of everything, which means you've gotten one of everything for free. That is perfect math. Nobody argue with me.
Don't make the rules of mathematics. That was like
That's just how it
Aristotle or
works.
somebody. So, and last but certainly not least, you're going to go support the show husband. You can follow at Searchers Believe on all the things. Go to searchersbelieve.com/shop and get some merch designed by yours truly. If you use code FANGIRL10, you'll get 10% off. Then you're going to go follow Searchers Podcast on everything. They were talking just last night about scheduling some more episodes. And then you're going to go subscribe to Beacon TV. So you can go to streambeacontv.com. You can follow at streambeacontv on all the things. And if you subscribe to this new paranormal, true crime, horror streaming platform, if you use code FANGIRL10, you'll get 10% off of your subscription. And there are some really exciting, really cool things coming.
Yes, there
So stay
are.
tuned.
Yay. And that
Yay!
was the
That's the
incoherent
incoherent
fangirl.
fangirl.
Thanks for listening. We
Thank
love
you. We
you.
love you.
Bye.
Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at HereComesTheNerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.